believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Understand the way of your precepts,
and I will meditate on your wondrous works.
My soul melts away for sorrow.
Strengthen me according to your word.
Put false ways far from me,
and graciously teach me your law.
I have chosen the way of faithfulness.
I set your just decrees before me.
I cling to your testimonies, O Lord.
Let me not be put to shame.
I will run in the way of your commandments.
When you enlarge my heart.
Amen. Merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law
he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
And peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From St. Paul's letter to Philemon. So if you consider me your partner, receive him, Onesimus, as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. This is our text.
runaway slave, a wronged master, an imprisoned apostle, and a crucified Lord. Welcome to the little book of Philemon. Of the 13 letters written by the apostle Paul, Philemon is the last and also the shortest. At a mere 25 verses, it doesn't fill even a single page of the Bible, and it can be read in less than 5 minutes. A reminder to you that you can read an entire book of the Bible while you are waiting in the doctor's office or for your coffee to brew. Do it. You won't regret it. This scripture, too, is breathed out by God, and it is useful for us, profitable for us. It's easy to miss, but worth our time. So what's it about? If you flip past this page but haven't read it, what is the letter of Philemon about? In brief, it's a piece of personal correspondence, a letter from Paul to a man named Philemon about his slave Onesimus, the slave who had become Paul's companion while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. Or as I said at the start, it's about a runaway slave, a wronged master, an imprisoned apostle, and a crucified Lord. And that's how we'll tackle this little book today. A runaway slave. His name is Onesimus. He only gets mentioned once in this letter, and one other time in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. The name Onesimus means useful. I suppose it's a fitting name for a slave. Hey, useful, come here. Useful, do this, do that. Except when we meet him in this letter, it seems like his master doesn't think of him as very useful. At least not anymore. What do we know about this Onesimus character? He seems to have been a high-ranking personal slave, which means he'd been entrusted with the care of his master's possessions. Or in other words, you could say that he had the keys to the safe and he knew the bank account passwords. Before we get back to Onesimus, though, I want to think for a moment about slavery. When I mention that this man is a slave, you probably have a gut reaction against the practice of slavery. And I think that we're right to have that reaction. When God created Adam and Eve in the beginning, in his own image, he never intended for their descendants to be treated as property, as things. They were people in God's image and not just stuff. But God also never intended for there to be sin or death either. And yet sin entered the world and slavery of all kinds became the common practice across continents and cultures and history, including our own history here in the United States. I bring that up because I think there is a narrative sometimes in our society today that slavery is a unique evil to our own American context, and it's not. It was present almost everywhere. So it was a problem here, but not only here. What was unique in the United States and in other Western nations is that they ended the practice of slavery. Why? Because of Christianity. I especially want the children who are here today, so all of you young people in the congregation, you need to hear this and know it. The Christian faith didn't lead to slavery. It ended slavery. It's important to know this and remember it. So if we go back to Onesimus, we're going back to a man who was a slave in the first century Roman Empire. And as I said, he was a slave who had access to the jewels and the silver. And he was a slave who swiped the jewels and the silver and then ran away. Onesimus was not only a thief, he was a slave, he was a thief, and he was a runaway as well. And I'm sure he never expected to meet his master again. Useful Onesimus, Hardly. He turned out, at least to his master, to be useless. And what he'd done was no small matter. If Onesimus was caught, his life was forfeit. His crime deserved death. As we consider Onesimus' sin, we should consider our own lives. A few questions for us to consider as we think of this man. We might ask ourselves, whom have we wronged? Whom do we owe? And what do we owe them? From whom or from what are we running away? Or would we like to run away? That's what Onesimus did. Onesimus hadn't counted on one thing, however. He hadn't counted on the fact that when he ran away, he would meet a man named Paul who was imprisoned in Rome. And he definitely didn't count on the fact that by God's grace, he would become a Christian. It's like the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. Onesimus was not seeking the Lord. He was not asking for the Lord. But he found him there in Rome. And the surprising thing is that this slave who was useless to his master turned out to be extremely useful to St. Paul. St. Paul here is in his imprisonment in Rome, kind of a house arrest that he was under. He could have guests come and go, but he himself couldn't leave. And Onesimus turned out to be really helpful for St. Paul during that imprisonment. So much so that Paul says at one point, I would have been glad to have kept him with me if it had been with Philemon's permission. But now Paul is sending Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, back to his master Philemon. Sending him from Rome to the city of Colossae in modern-day Turkey, formerly known as Asia Minor. How will that turn out? A wronged master. Philemon, to whom this letter is addressed, is a man of note. He seems to have been a man who perhaps was wealthy. He has a household, and it seems to be that the church in Colossae is meeting in his house. Philemon is probably the pastor now. St. Paul calls him our beloved fellow worker. So here's a man who's not only wealthy, but a minister in the church. He's also a wronged master who could demand his slave's life. And that slave is returning to him. The question, of course, is what he'll do with this runaway, thieving slave. How will he receive Onesimus? As I said, according to the world's way of thinking, Onesimus was his property to do with as he pleased, demanding full repayment or even demanding his life. What will Philemon do? We might think perhaps of our own lives. We can ask ourselves questions like, who has wronged us? Who is it that owes us? Who is running away from us or avoiding us because of what they owe? But St. Paul offers Philemon another option. He says, Philemon, you have the option that you can have him, Onesimus, back forever. But you can have him back forever as a beloved brother, not just as a slave. A brother especially to me, Paul writes, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul offers to Onesimus the option of not demanding what the world would give him, but receiving what the Lord would give him. This slave, Onesimus, who has wronged him, whose sins stand between him and Onesimus, to receive him back forgiven and free in Christ. Will Philemon receive back this fugitive servant into the favor into his favor and into his family, though he has been a wronged and injured master. He is invited to receive Onesimus, not as a slave, but in the Lord. We also are invited to receive one another in the Lord, not in our sin, which certainly stands between us, which certainly breaks relationships, and sometimes even demands repayment. But will we see one another in the Lord? Will we receive each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? An imprisoned apostle, St. Paul, who is awaiting trial before the Roman emperor, whose life will end with the swing of a sword before long, who takes the time to write this letter to Philemon, inviting him to receive back Onesimus. Paul, whose letter is full of affection, of a tender and good spirit. Did you notice what he calls Onesimus? I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. The care that he has for this slave. He's not saying that Onesimus' sin was small. He's not saying that Onesimus does not need to repay. But he is saying that here is one who has been humbled by his sin. And Paul is willing to take that sin and that shame on himself. Whatever he owes you, he says to Philemon, charge it to my account. I will repay it. St. Paul, who is willing to put himself into the shoes of this runaway slave and say, whatever he's done, count it to me. Charge it to me. He is willing to bear his neighbor's burden, willing to take on that load of sin and shame and even financial repayment for the sake of restoring these two brothers in Christ. What would we be willing to do to restore others to one another? What might we be willing to pay to restore relationships that are broken and reconcile Christians to one another? Would we be willing to put ourselves in the shoes of the one who has sinned and say, charge it to my account? I will repay it. St. Paul sees Onesimus as his son in the faith, as I said, his very own heart. And he pleads and urges forgiveness. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And how will Philemon refresh his heart? But by receiving Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother. And Paul even says to Philemon, I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. I'm not sure exactly what Paul means there, but it seems to me that in some way Onesimus' faith in Christ came about because of Paul's preaching. And so Paul says, all that you would enjoy in Christ is because of me. He's concerned about this poor slave, but he's also concerned to make restitution to the master. Where did Paul learn to live like this? Where did Paul learn to lay down his life in love for his neighbor? He learned from the best. He learned from Jesus, a crucified Lord. Jesus is the one for whose sake Paul is imprisoned. It is because he has been preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus that he is arrested and in chains. And he knows the goodness and mercy of God to poor wandering sinners. Why, it was St. Paul himself who some years before had been out persecuting Christians, arresting them and wanting them to be put to death, when Jesus appeared to him and forgave him. And he knows who Jesus is. the one who is seated on the throne, the one who is interceding with the Father for sinners here below, because Paul had Christ intercede for him. And that's why Paul is willing to intercede for Onesimus. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the crucified Lord. And when I say crucified, you ought to know that this was the punishment reserved for slaves and those who committed treason. Jesus himself is the one, though he is Lord, who took the position of a slave, of a runaway and thieving slave. He is the one who paid it all in his own death on the cross. He paid it all for Paul, and he paid it all for Philemon, and he paid it all for Onesimus, and he paid it all for you and for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified that slaves may be made brothers, and that those who are estranged might be reconciled, that those who are running away in their sin may be repentant and forgiven, and those who have been wronged may be restored. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. We, like Onesimus, have run away from God's service. We, like Onesimus, have injured our God in his rights. But it is Jesus Christ in his crucifixion who has found us. And it is Jesus Christ, by his grace, who works a change in us and who intercedes with us before the Father, that we might be received into his favor and into his family again. And there's every reason to think that St. Paul, when he wrote about Christ to Philemon, was successful in what he wrote. That when Philemon received this letter with his slave Onesimus back, he was willing to forgive Onesimus's sins in the name of Jesus and accept him, not just as a slave, but as a brother. Church history, in fact, tells us that this Onesimus, perhaps the same Onesimus, became a bishop in the church, a bishop in Ephesus. You consider that the pastors of the early church, Timothy was pastor in Ephesus, and Onesimus may have become the pastor after St. Timothy. From a slave to a brother to a pastor and bishop, proclaiming the mercies of God in Christ Jesus that he himself had received. A runaway slave, a wronged master, an imprisoned apostle, and a crucified Lord. And you, who though you have run away and are a slave, who have wronged your master, have been forgiven by the one who has interceded for you so that you can be restored to usefulness again, to your God and to your neighbor. And this is what God's word does for us again and again, every single Sunday. It takes us in our sin, washes us clean with the blood of Christ, restores us to our Father, and returns us to our neighbors in love. And so I urge you this day to take up again the scriptures, to hear them, read them, learn them, mark them, and inwardly digest them. Because all scripture, including Philemon, has been breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that you may be equipped for every good work. May God grant this to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
I'd like to invite you to sit, and we will install our Sunday school teachers. I can invite forward Tom Connell, Amanda Roach, Lisa Crawford, Amanda Vega, and Courtney Mueller. Beloved in the Lord, you have been chosen out of this congregation as Christians known to love the Holy Scriptures and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may assist me, your pastor, in the ministry of the word for the building up of the children of God to their eternal welfare and to the praise of his glorious grace. In Deuteronomy, the Holy Spirit says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. As you undertake this solemn office, the Lord of all, who has put into your hands his holy precious scriptures, now puts into your hands also the souls of the lambs and sheep of Christ's flock, which he purchased with his own blood, that you may feed them his word of life. Therefore I ask you, do you believe that all holy scripture is the very word of God, holy, true, and without error, given that we might believe in Jesus Christ and in him be saved? Do you believe that the doctrines of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from that scripture are the true and unchanged teachings of God's word? Then answer, I do believe.
I do believe.
Will you teach the Christians in your care only what scripture itself teaches in accordance with the confessions of our church? Then answer, I will.
I will.
Will you pray for the souls you teach, for me, your fellow teacher, and for yourself? And will you devote yourself to ongoing study of the scriptures that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit and be equipped for the work he will do through you? Then answer, I will, with the help of God.
I will, with the help of God.
And now I address the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by this man and these women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
As a called minister of this flock, to whom the ministry of word and sacrament has been entrusted, I install you as teachers of the word of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. Amen. Please kneel. Congregation, would please stand for prayer. Dearest Lord Jesus, teacher and Lord, bless these your servants as they instruct the lambs of your flock. Open the scriptures to them that they may see you in your word. Increase their faith and joy in you. Defend them from the assaults of the devil, from the false words of this world, and from their own doubts, fears, and sin. But let them, with strong confidence in you and in your strong word, be servants of grace, that their labors may bear fruit now and into eternity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear brother and sisters, go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Along with the prayers mentioned earlier, we're going to be praying for Megan Paradise, who was taken to the hospital.
Let us pray.
Almighty and most merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Be with our sister congregation, Mount Calvary in Acton, in their time of pastoral vacancy, providing them still with your holy word and sacraments. And bless Pastor Eric and Amy as they move, that his new position may serve for the spread of the gospel and the upbuilding of Christ's church. Lord, in your mercy, grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our homes and families and be with all expectant mothers and the children they carry, including Rachel, Stephanie, Jamie, and Catherine. Lord, in your mercy. Be with Grace and the medical mission team traveling to Madagascar. Keep them safe in their travels. Bless them with strength and good health. Through their serving, provide for the physical needs of many and glorify the name of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, chronic illness and pain, or any other adversity. Be with our sister Megan as she is being taken to the hospital. Grant to her your peace and the medical care that she needs. Be with Paul, Cindy, and Care2 as they await surgeries. Hear also our prayers for Bobby and Carol, Katie, Danny and Karen, Heather and Mike, Kate, Rick and Teresa, Tony and Libby, Verity, Annette, and Ed Hillman's son Michael, and all who desire our ongoing prayers. Provide for them in every need, and grant to them the love and mercy that is theirs in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful God, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially those who believe. Lord, in your mercy. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Amen.
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 90. a prayer of Moses, a man of God. Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return to the children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but a yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away with the flood. They are like a dream, like glass is renewed in the morning. And the morning it flourishes and renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all their days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but a toll of trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? And your wrath is according to your fear of you. So teach us the number of days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have the pity of your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may enjoy, rejoice, and be glad in our days. Make us glad for the many days as you have afflicted us, and for the many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and the glorious power of your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
To the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have refreshed us with the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that this heavenly food which we have received will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.